Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome everybody. We've got a number of visitors with us today. We're very glad and welcome you. Glad that you took the time to out of your schedule to worship God with us.
Amen.
Have a note that Raven says hello to everybody, that she misses everybody. She has been at home for quite a while, not in the greatest of health, hasn't been able to attend worship, and she just wants everybody to know she loves you, misses you, and sends her best to you.
Amen.
We've also got a prayer request for safe travels for Steve and Robin Perry, who are traveling this weekend, and also Glenda, who is traveling this weekend. Let's bow real quick before we get into our lesson and offer up a prayer to God on their behalf. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. Dear God, we ask that you please be with those of our number who are traveling in and out of town right now, specifically Steve and Robin Perry and Glenda Vance. We pray that their travels will be safe and that they can come back to us safely. Dear God, we pray for the travels of the visitors that we have with us today. They are far from home, and we ask that you be with their travels and get them back home safe, and let them be able to take the message back to their home congregation that the church is alive and well in Las Vegas. Dear God, we pray everything through your son Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
One announcement real quick. 2 weeks from today, that group that we help every month serving our kids, they are having a fundraiser bowling tournament. The information is on the bulletin board, and then also the sign-up sheet for next month, where we go and bag the food for the kids that are underprivileged. And if you'd like to participate with that, that's always the first Thursday of the month. The sign-up sheet is back there. We are going to continue, excuse me, hopefully continue with our series. Dick has been finishing up this quarter in the Sunday morning Bible class with the different aspects of worship. And not to just beat it to death, but I've been saying it every week that the purpose of his class was to kind of point out and educate people what the different aspects of our worship is, and the point that none of them are more important than the other. They are all important, and we all have to worship in spirit and in truth. And in today's Bible class, we talked about giving, and so that's going to be the lesson today. Next week is on the Lord's Supper. I remember as a child, even before I started going to church, I can remember on Sunday mornings, those TV evangelists way back then, how they'd ask you. I remember one, I don't know who it was, to come and put your hand on the TV. I don't know what you were going to feel, maybe if you were standing in a bucket of water or something, but put your hand on the TV and don't forget to send your check in. Even as a little kid, I figured it out. That guy just wants you to send money in. You know, I didn't understand any. I understood that his whole goal was you send that check in. Above all, this is not a lesson about that. It's if anything, it's looking at the biblical aspects of giving. In the scriptures, There is no specific amount dictated. We see some scriptures and some words used, such as a man prospers. We see as he purposes in his heart. But no specific amount, no specific percentage of what we make. We are told in the scriptures when we're to give. We are told and shown how to give. We know that it helps others. You know, it was brought up in Bible class today about the idea of giving is not that health and wealth gospel. That it's not a pyramid scheme. That you give and then you're going to get back, you know, a certain amount. It's not that. But we do know it helps others. And it's good for us. There is nothing that God tells us to do that isn't beneficial for us. It's always, yes, it helps others, but it helps us. It's good, you know, the principles of the world are, what's that bumper sticker? He who dies with the most toys wins or something like that. That's the world. The world sees money as the end all. That you've got to grab, that you've got to hold and hoard as much as you can. That's what the world, what the devil advertises as success. There's nothing wrong with money. Dick brought up the passage today. The love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. I have known, not only have I, you know, we've all known, I've known faithful Christians that had a lot of money. And I've known equally as faithful Christians that about the only thing they had in their pocket was a hole. Didn't have two nickels to rub together, but they were every bit as faithful. Amen. The amount that you make isn't your measure of faithfulness. But it is good for us to let go of what that world tells you to hold on to. To be able to let go of maybe that one thing, like the rich young ruler, that was the one thing that was keeping him from fully following God. He had kept all the other commandments from youth. And Jesus said, well, one thing you lack, go and sell your possessions, give it to the poor. And said he went away sorrowful, for he had many possessions. He couldn't break that one. But not only are we to give of our money, but of our abilities, our talents. Give ourselves. That's what we, you know, God doesn't need our money. In fact, more times than not, people don't need our money. People need us. People need our compassion. People need our ear. People need our heart. People need salvation, our knowledge of the Bible. That's what they need more of. When are we to give? We are commanded to give on the first day of the week when we gather to worship. That's one of the things that we see out of expediency, out of convenience. When you're gathered together to worship, take up a collection. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, this scripture is often used during during the Lord's, or when we take up the collection, or even on the Lord's Supper, showing that people are gathered together on the first day of the week. It says, now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given orders to the churches in Galatia, so you must do also. Paul was not only writing to the Christians in Corinth, but he had written about this to the churches in Galatia. It applies to them. It applies to us today in 2022. On the first day of the week, Sunday, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. We're going to get to that a little bit later. As he may prosper. Some of us prosper more than others. Some of us don't. But as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Why do we give? We know that we need to give on the first day of the week. But why? It helps others. That's understandable. That's kind of accepted. It helps others. It helps spread the gospel. We here at South Valley and other congregations, but we at South Valley, we sponsor a few missionaries. That money that we collect, some of that money goes to help spread the gospel in other parts of the world. It has been helping Malcolm Parsley in South Korea spread the gospel in Korea. It has been helping David Marub spread the gospel in Kenya. It has helped Richard Bell and Vellan Sivakumar in India spread the gospel. When we hear about those missionaries baptizing X amount of people every week or whatever, we can proudly, not arrogantly, proudly know that we've had a little bit of a hand in that, that they were able to do that through our help. It helps spread the gospel. It's good for us. It's good for us to let go of what the world covets. And if for any other reason, we should have probably put this first, it's a command. We could start and stop with that one. It's a command for us to give. Philippians 4, Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Paul's acknowledging them. And he says, for even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Amen. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Mm-hmm. Paul is thanking, acknowledging, and praising them that they've helped many times. They've got a generous heart. They were very dear. The church in Philippi and Paul were very endearing to each other. And they helped him. In Galatians 6:10, Paul wrote to the Galatians, he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. That is one of the ways, through our money, that we can help others. Now, I don't want to confuse the idea. We are not a social welfare agency. We are a spiritual congregation of the Lord's church. The number one thing we have to offer is spiritual salvation, knowledge, emotional strength to people. So many times the world, and we have helped people. We're not against helping people, especially those who are of the household of faith. We have been able to help. But the church's main priority is spiritual. It like I said, it's not a social welfare agency. Never has been. Never. We do help. But our goal is spiritual. In Acts 11, we see how Christians were helping. Here, this scripture here is being, the last scripture is being played out in real time about helping those of the household of faith. We see in Acts 11, it says, "And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." Here is playing out in real time Christians helping other Christians in the way that they could. And this verse 29, each according to his ability. Some had more ability than others, but they all did something. In Luke 6, verse 38, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." Here's, we kind of see the attitude of giving. The idea that if you give, it's going to come back to you. Has that ever not happened? When you let go, it winds up boomeranging and coming right back and blessing you. In Acts 20, verse 35, Paul said, "And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than receive." We get a lot from giving. We get a lot. And it's beneficial for us to help others. And it helps us grow. How are we to give? This is as important as what we give. You know, we have to give with love and a pure heart. Because if we don't, it doesn't benefit us at all. In fact, it actually is damaging to us spiritually. And we need to be giving generously for us. You know, somebody might give more than us, but they might have more to give. As long as it's generous for us and we're not doing it stingy. In Matthew 6, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Take heed," and this was our scripture that we read today from that Tracy read, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly.
Amen.
We don't need to, Jesus was saying, don't sound a trumpet when the collection plate comes to you. Everybody take a look at how much I'm getting. You know, none of that. You know, make sure everybody sees it. Because you have no... When somebody says, man, you sure give a lot, there's your whole reward right there. That little pat on the back. You won't be acknowledged by God. Romans 12:8, Paul is telling the Romans, use the things that you've got. Whatever talents you have, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. When you give, do it with liberality. Not stingy, not, you know. Hopefully we never ever have to have crowbars in the foyer that you can pick up the bulletin and the outline and a crowbar to pry that wallet open. You know, luckily, this congregation has never been like that. But it's not a tug of war, you know, with letting that money go, you know, during the contribution. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7, Paul wrote, says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. That line in there really jumped. I've read it a million times. But it really, a light bulb kind of went off. Verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. That's done ahead of time. That's a plan. That's a planned activity. It's not when the collection plate is passed, reach in your pocket and see what you've got. You make the purpose in your heart what you're going to be giving to God ahead of time. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever it is we do, if we're serving, serve in the name of the Lord Jesus, to his glory. If we give, to his glory. 1 Corinthians 13, we always think of that as the love chapter. You know, love is patient, love is kind, all that. But up at the beginning, it's Paul's talking. He says, if you do this and don't have love, you've just become a clanging gong or a clanging cymbal. And in verse 3, he says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. You could even sacrifice yourself. But if you don't have love in doing it, it profits you nothing. Now, doesn't say that it doesn't profit somebody else. You know, you give of your money to help somebody, it's going to help them, but it doesn't help you one little bit if you don't have love. Mark 14, this was brought up in a Bible class today. In chapter 12, it says, "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how people put money into the treasury." I read that and I thought, what if Jesus was sitting up here watching us when we're giving or when we're singing or when we're during the lesson? And he's watching the people on Facebook, and he's watching the people, you know, write notes or doing these, and, you know. He's watching during the offering. Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself. Jesus always took opportunities for a teaching moment. Of course, here's a lesson. Jesus knows how much people give. But he used it as an opportunity to teach. Called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." She didn't put in monetarily as much, but she gave everything she had. She gave of herself and trusted God. Giving. It is a command for us all. We brought up in Bible class today that you know, some people see giving as almost spiritual blackmail. Oh, I don't like the elders there, so I'm not going to give. Or, if I don't get my way, I'm keep my money in my pocket. You're not doing anybody any good doing that. And you're actually hurting yourself. Our attitude is as important as the gift itself. Next week, we're going to be looking at the Lord's Supper. Dick is kind of coming to a close of his class, and I've been kind of mirroring what he has talked about in his Sunday morning class. We never like to end an assembly without offering the invitation. The invitation is always open, anytime, day or night. He doesn't keep office hours. But if there's anything we can do for you, if there's anybody that needs to put their Lord on in baptism, if there is anybody that needs to repent of sin or request prayers, we will pray with and for you. Whatever we can do, if you've been looking at a few different congregations in town of the Lord's Church and would like to identify with us here at South Valley, We would welcome you with open arms. Whatever your need, please come forward. Let's stand and sing as Daryl leads us in our invitation.